B-Pod Studios.
Let's bring in the man who covers the Phils for NBC Sports Philadelphia, Corey Simon. Corey, what'd you think of the deal?
Well, I thought this was a very good trade. In terms of the lineup that you just presented, I actually was just writing about this, and mine's pretty similar. The only difference I had was Segura leading off and Cesar Hernandez at the bottom of the order.
Okay, that could happen. That's all right by me.
You know, adding a guy like JT Realmuto, you're taking a bottom-of-the-order bat in your catcher, and you're turning it into a top-of-the-order bat. And there's just very few catchers in baseball that can hit in the top half of your batting order. It's not just that Realmuto is the best catcher in baseball. It's that he's really the only catcher in baseball you can say has all five tools. He can hit for average. He can hit for power. And I think he's going to hit for much more power in Philadelphia than he did in Miami. He's the fastest base-running everyday catcher. His arm is strong. He's a good defender. He's a better receiver than Jorge Alfaro. You know, I know that Jorge Alfaro graded out positively in terms of pitch framing, but Alfaro's receiving in terms of blocking the ball, and I'm not talking about balls in the dirt. I'm talking about pitches on the outside corner, pitches high in the zone. It left much to be desired, and JT Realmuto doesn't give you those issues. So I think this is a very good trade. It cost the Phillies a lot. Sixto Sanchez is their top prospect for a reason. But, you know, the basis of my argument for thinking this is a good trade is that if Sixto Sanchez were to encounter elbow issues again this season, like he did in 2018 when his season ended in June and then a setback prevented him from pitching in the Arizona Fall League, if that were to happen again, his value would plummet. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he'd have no value, but he wouldn't be able to bring you back a player the caliber of JT Realmuto. So the fact that you were able to get this deal done now, especially if they can bring a Harper or Machado in after that, it might make the Phillies a team to beat in the National League East.
Yes, and that is also contingent on who that Harper Machado thing. But let's talk about who they gave up. A lot of people think, did they give up too much here with Sixto Sanchez and his starting catcher Alfaro, who had a lot of defensive liabilities, but also the international bonus slot, which a lot of teams want these days?
I don't think it was too much. I mean, I think a lot of this fan base overrates Jorge Alfaro a little bit, and I think that Sixto Sanchez, because his is the name that Phillies fans have been hearing for so long in terms of their prospects, they grew this attachment to him. But if you're in a win-now mode, and especially if you're able to add a Harper or Machado, this move makes absolute sense. Some people think that 2 years isn't enough club control to make this trade, 2 years of JT Realmuto, but it might be. I mean, he's making $5.9 million this season. Next year is his final arbitration year. That'll probably raise him up to like $10 to $12 million. But I would also think that the Phillies have designs of extending him. You don't make a trade like this to let a guy like that walk away easily after two seasons. So I don't think you can look at it as just, oh, you're only getting a couple years of this guy. You might be getting every year of his prime. And at 27 years old, he's fully in his prime right now.
Yeah, and tell me a little bit about his defensive prowess and the way he handles the pitching staff. Because to me, I look at it like he could turn these mediocre 3-4-5s into a little better than mediocre. I'm not that high on him, but a good catcher can tune those guys up a little bit.
You know, observing him over the years in all the National League East games, when they come here, when the Phillies go there, he has, you know, taken a lot of those young pitchers in Miami under his wing. He is a difference maker behind the plate in terms of his throwing arm, his receiving. I think that it's going to just take the Phillies pitching staff to a slightly higher level. And, you know, you look at the offensive component of it. I've been writing recently that Realmuto is really not the kind of guy you can judge based on the numbers that he put up the last couple of years. Because the numbers he put up the last couple of years, while they were already very good, they came in the biggest ballpark in all of baseball. He hit 21 home runs last year. At a place like CBP, I think he could get closer to 30. In fact, I pulled up his spray chart from last year. All the deep flyouts and deep lineouts he had at Marlins Park, there were between 15 and 20 balls that he hit last season that would have been extra base hits at Citizens Bank Park that instead were outs. So I think you have to take that into account. You have to look at his road splits. The fact that on the road last season, he had nearly a 900 OPS. On the road, he gave you the offensive production of a Francisco Lindor or a Xander Bogaerts, really upper echelon players. And I think that's what the Phillies were looking at. It's not just what he's done. It's what he's capable of doing in a better ballpark, in a better lineup, as he enters the best years of his career.
Talking to Corey Simon, covers the Phillies for NBC Sports Philadelphia. Corey, there are two ways you can look at this. One is that getting Realmuto is a consolation prize. Like, if they strike out on the other ends, they can say, well, at least we got this guy and he's going to help us. But it also could be a precursor to a really big splash that they're trying to make. So do you believe this is the precursor to getting the Harper Machado, or is it the consolation prize?
Well, I'll say this. Bryce Harper loves him some JT Realmuto. He made that apparent last year at the All-Star game. He made that apparent after the trade deadline last season when Real Muto had a game-winning hit against the Nationals. And in the clubhouse after the game, Harper said, you know, if that guy was on our side, we would have won the game tonight. That's pretty telling. I think that this is an indication that the Phillies are firmly in win-now mode. And I don't think it's going to stop them from continuing to pursue Machado or Harper. I maintain that I think they're going to land one of them. I think the preference is Machado, but if Machado and agent Dan Lozano continue to dilly-dally and just wait and wait and wait and see if a better offer materializes, perhaps the Phillies pivot and, you know, more aggressively go after Harper. I do think they're going to end up with one of them. And, you know, thinking about what this lineup would look like with one of Machado or Harper in addition to Real Muto, that's the deepest lineup in the National League if they can put that together. That's an American League-style lineup. And, you know, it significantly raises the ceiling of this team. Coming into this week, the Phillies were viewed as a team that could win between like 80 to 84 games. I think that the Real Muto move alone adds about 3 wins conservatively. And obviously getting a Harper and Machado would push that up by 4 or 5 more, if not more.
Can this thing extend into spring training with these two guys?
Yeah, sure could. I mean, Jake Arrieta signed last year on March 11th. I don't think that it's going to, but if Machado and Harper continue to receive offers that they deem unworthy, and what I mean by unworthy is, you know, when the offseason began, we expected each player was going to exceed $300 million. It doesn't appear that they've been able to get offers that are in that vicinity. So if they continue to wait and they think that they can get their money, you know, it only takes one team. And for example, last year, the Padres with Eric Hosmer, not that Hosmer is nearly the caliber of player or Harper or Machado, he only had one team in the mix for him, and that was the Padres. And the Padres still gave him a ton of money, $144 million. So sometimes even when there's only one or two teams, you still see a team kind of bid against itself. I think that's what Scott Boras and Dan Lozano are trying to do with their clients, is just wait it out for the best possible offer. I just don't think that any team's going to be able to outbid the Phillies. I still don't. So, you know,
all right. Well, I like to hear that. I like to hear that. Now, let's talk about the last thing, the pitching. Are they still in the market to add a starter that can replace one of those three?
I don't know that. I don't expect the Phillies to go hard after Dallas Keuchel, who is the best available starting pitcher remaining. There are some lower tier options like a Gio Gonzalez you might be able to get on a 1-year deal. I think the Phillies will add depth to their rotation because right now you're looking at the 5 from last season with Jared Eichhoff, but not much of reliability behind that. And I just don't know if the Phillies can get through an entire season with a combination of those 6 guys. But again, when you're in win now mode like that, the rotation right now is probably your weakness. So it would make sense to address it in some way. I just don't see Dallas Keuchel, who's the biggest name out there. I don't see that happening.
All right, listen, I know you have your head buried in baseball, but I got to ask you this question about the Sixers now that the trading deadline has passed and they added some bench players and a quality starter. I'll ask you the same question I've been asking the audience. At the end of today, will we be able to say the Sixers will play the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals?
You know, I don't know, because the Raptors did get Marc Gasol today, which is that's a big addition for them, too. But I love what the Sixers have done this week. And to be able to get a first-round pick for Markelle Fultz, I was stunned by that. And it almost improves what they traded for Tobias Harris, because the first-round pick the Sixers gave the Clippers that is their own, that's canceled out by getting this Thunder pick. So it's almost like you traded one fewer first to get Tobias Harris. Love what Elton Brand's done these last couple days, and really these last couple months. Sixers, I mean, that's the most exciting Eastern Conference team right now. They've moved ahead of the Celtics, on par with the Raptors and Bucks. We'll see.
All right. Corey, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you.
Thanks, Mike.
There he is, Corey Seidman, covering the Phillies.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.